You're one of 21 so-called rebels defying the Prime Minister. Why was it necessary to make a stand?
Well, I was very supportive to a certain extent of Boris Johnson's strategy. I understood why he has to bring this to a head. The public are fed up with Brexit and they want us to leave on the 31st of October. And his strategy was to bring back a deal and say to Parliament, vote for this deal or we crash out. I changed my mind because when he suspended Parliament, I thought, this does not give Parliament the chance, should we need to have a say on whether we really do want to crash out of the EU. And it seemed to be an underhand tactic. And then when he threatened to remove the whip from people who voted against him, I thought, I'm not going to stand by and see colleagues who are much braver than me and have been much braver over the last 2 or 3 years vote with their conscience and lose their whip. I'd much rather wake up in the morning having lost the whip with them.
14 years an MP. How has the party changed in that time?
Well, it's become a much more hardline Eurosceptic party. I mean, it's amazing, really, how quickly it has changed. I mean, we've been up and down. You know, we started in when I became an MP in 2005. We were still many, many seats behind Labour. And David Cameron, over a period of 10 years, from 2006 to 2016, I think did a fantastic job of moving the Tory party back into the centre ground, doing some very progressive things, but also doing some quite tough things. And that was completely blown up by the referendum. But all through that time, the people who wanted us out of the EU, the MPs who wanted us outside of the EU, were getting organised, were being pretty ruthless in their objective. And they've done that. But the thing that's really very sad is that having won their objective, they sort of haven't stopped. They've carried on. And I think they're sort of going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because you could have post-Brexit a mainstream centre-ground Conservative Party that was attractive to many, many voters. But that is something that they're making less and less likely.
Interesting. You mentioned David Cameron then and the referendum blowing up. To what extent do you think the blame almost for the events that we've seen over the last few days, the last few years, all of this Brexit turmoil lies at the feet of Cameron for the decision that he made to at the time win a few votes back from UKIP?
Look, I'm not going to blame David Cameron for the referendum. I know it's very fashionable because everyone needs a villain when something like this goes so badly wrong. But I think if you think back to the politics of this, and people say, oh, it's terrible because it was all about an internal fight with the Conservative Party. Well, to a certain extent, that is true. But a lot of the MPs who wanted this referendum were representing constituents who wanted a referendum and a chance to say no to Europe. And whoever, if David Cameron, for example, had managed successfully to stop a referendum happening, whoever got chosen as the next leader of the Tory party would have had to promise to introduce a referendum. The referendum was in the Tory party manifesto, and people knew it was coming. The reason people are angry is because, and I speak as a Remainer, we lost.
We understand you're going to continue as an independent. So if an election gets the green light in the coming days, will you fight to retain your seat as an independent?
I haven't made that decision yet. I'm still thinking things through, and I'm still hoping, perhaps against hope, that there may be a reconciliation and I get the whip restored. But we will have to see what happens, because it'll be interesting to see the mood of the Conservative Party in Parliament, whether that changes. There are some who think good riddance to bad luck, we're glad to see the back of people like me. But there are others who think this is a bit much, and if we're the ones who are going on Wednesday, who knows who's going to be going Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Interesting. And just sort of on that note, on your constituents, have you had any feedback at all? Have any of them reached out?
Yeah, I've had thousands of emails, and they've been overwhelmingly supportive. It's been quite incredible, really, how fantastic they've been. And that's one of the reasons, again, why I voted against the government, because in terms of at least the correspondence I had with my constituents, the overwhelming desire was to vote to stop no deal. And these are people, you know, running businesses and employing people in my constituency who are absolutely scared witless and in despair. So I did it for them.
And a lot of people would say that you were a key part of the modernisation of the Tory party, Mr. Fatey. What do you think the future holds for the Tory party?
Well, I think that's a really good point, because to a certain extent, Brexit is a cover for a wider culture war. You know, some people say, for example, that the rise of UKIP was partly aided and abetted by David Cameron backing gay marriage. Now, I supported him on gay marriage, and I got, before Brexit, it was my largest post bag of people who were opposed to it. And there is, I think, some concern that some of these issues, you know, that terrible tagline, the metropolitan elite and so on, the kind of open Britain we see, a tolerant Britain and a Britain that represents, that has people from all over the world and from different backgrounds, I hope the Tory party doesn't turn its back on that, because that is what, in my view, makes Britain such a great country. But we'll see. But I think Boris's instincts are very much the same as David Cameron. And he is doing what he's doing now because he thinks, understandably, that he's got to do this to get Brexit out the door. I mean, it's never going to be out the door, really, but out the door and move on. But if a Boris Johnson who succeeded in delivering Brexit had a free hand to govern for the next 5 years, I think he would govern, broadly speaking, from the centre. So there is still a chance.
Have any of the MPs in the county of Oxfordshire reached out to you, and have they had anything to say?
Yes. I have to say that Robert Court, the MP for Witney, I was very moved this morning. I didn't hear his interview on another radio station, but he texted me to say that he had said that he respected me and thought I was a good MP and understood he disagreed with me. And I was incredibly touched by that, and it's a charming and lovely thing for him to do. I haven't heard from John Howell, and Victoria Prentice I'm quite close to anyway, so she doesn't need to reach out to me.